Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday.
You excited this morning when it says get to see Jesus, get to see him face to face. We only get to hear about him and we get to feel the Spirit, but one day we're going to meet him face to face. Amen. Isn't that a glorious day? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm pumped for it, ready for church this morning. How about you? Amen. Amen.
Brother Lee. I love this song, Stand Still and Let God Move.
The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storms around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go,
stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel
is swiftly rising, and you wonder where he's been. Friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still, it's all to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When you feel
the Lord, and I love Westside Baptist Church. There's a lot of churches that wish they could have this kind of spirit, when in fact, if they just let go and get out of the way and the Lord have his way, they can all have it. It's a good day to be at Westside.
Amen.
Got some folks that are out there not feeling well and traveling and different things, and we understand that. And we've got a new song that I wanted all those extra voices to help us do, but the Lord knew who was going to be here this morning, and he knew how this was going to go. We go through seasons around here where, and we say this every once in a while. I mean, it just seems like we'll get hooked in on God's blessings, and our songs and our sermons and everything just deal with God's blessings. And then we'll get hooked into salvation, and we'll go through songs and sermons that deal with salvation, and we'll get on things like what a day that will be, and when we all get to heaven, and how glorious and how wonderful that's going to be. But over the last few weeks, it seems that we have been really dealing with praying like we should, and God's grace and forgiveness and his help in times of trouble. I mean, that just seems to be the way we've gone Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's just been, the Lord has blessed. I mean, evidence last week of how God moved in. We're singing, God still answers prayer, and the Lord moved in. And it's, you know, I say this every so often, and I mean this. When I come to Westside, my blessings come from seeing all of you. And you say, well, Dave, really, you know, is that real? Let me tell you, it really is a blessing to me. It helps my heart. Lots of times, because I know situations you've been through, and the church has prayed on your behalf, and you're able to be here today. And it's impossible for me to stand up here or sit up here as I'm playing and look out there and not think, it hadn't been many years ago Sybil fell And we were worried about her. Brother Allen was really worried about her. And prayers were sent up to heaven on her behalf. You don't have to go far. And Brother Eddie was just in a bad wreck just a few weeks back. And prayers were sent up to heaven on his behalf. Run down the road and we hit Brother Joe and his grandbaby in the situation. And prayers were sent up. And we don't have to go far. And I see prayers sent up to heaven. Brother Mike, surgery, Dave, Sister Molly, able to be here. Prayers sent up to heaven. Ricky back there, the heart issues. Prayers sent up to heaven. Sister Daydean back there. Prayers sent up all the way from front to back. And I see that, and it helps me to know that no matter what I face, the Lord's got a help and an answer. All the way from the front row to the back row. Hadn't been that long ago we were praying for Madeline and her cancer situation. So from the front row to the back row on both sides, I can just look around and see where God has moved. And prayers have been answered. The prayers have been sent up by the people of Westside Baptist Church. We love each other. We lift each other up in times of trouble. We pray for each other through situations. Karen Peck wrote this song. Kyla Rowland said one time, she said, you know, when the Lord gives me a song, she's written some of the greatest gospel songs ever. And she said, I keep a pad and a pen with me everywhere I go, because she said, there's something inside of me that when the Lord hits me, when she said, I've got to start writing, and lots of times he'll give her the whole song. She said, I could be driving down the road and have to pull over. I can be sitting in my quiet time praying in the office. And Karen Peck felt like God was telling her to write this song. And they got down and started writing the words to a song that's entitled Pray Now. Pray Now. Not pray later, pray now. Now, pray now. And 2 weeks later, her husband was diagnosed with serious cancer. But start praying now. We don't know what we're facing down the road. We don't know what we face when we leave this building today. We don't know what we're going to go through, what we're going to face this week. We need to take advantage of this altar. Now, you don't have to be kneeling in this altar. This is not a magical place. It's not a magic bean kind of place. But let me tell you, there's something about kneeling and humbling ourselves before the Lord. We can sit back there and you can pray. You can pray in your car. I do it all the time. Going down the road and just be talking to God. But there's something about kneeling and humbling yourself at an old-fashioned altar and sending those prayers up to heaven. You say, well, I don't have anything to pray about. Pray for me. I need it. Pray for him. He needs it. Pray for him. We need it. We desire those prayers. You pray for the choir as we try to do this song. Hopefully it'll come out. Listen to the words of it. Pray now.
That can bring us to our knees.
But it's in those moments when
this doesn't mean that he is gone.
'Cause he promised he would never, ever leave us.
And you never spent one moment on your own.
Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 19, please. I'd like to look at something, I believe you could call it a familiar passage. I like this passage. It's a blessing to me every time I read it. And I believe it's been 2 or 3 years ago we did look at this passage here at Westside. But the Bible tells us here a story about a man named Zacchaeus. And when I use the word story, I don't mean a fairy tale. I mean a historical fact, something that happened. And the Bible records it and does so accurately, I might add. But we see here in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, before we go any further, I want you to understand that something is happening here. Something's happening for the very last time. You see, just 3 chapters from now, we will find Jesus before Pilate. We will find him being held by men and beaten just 3 chapters from now. And so when the Lord was coming through Jericho, it was for the very last time. Calvary and the crucifixion were just around the corner. It was Zacchaeus' last chance to see, hear, or possibly meet the Savior. I just want to say this morning, perhaps this is your last chance to see, hear, or meet the Savior. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to say that if you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, there's never been a time in your life where you've seen yourself a sinner and you've never noticed that you need a Savior. I want to tell you that this could be your last chance to see, hear, or meet the Savior. Proverbs 29:1 tells us, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. This is something we need to take heed to, not just as a lost man or a lost woman. We need to understand that this could be the last chance that we have to meet the Lord. I also want to say to the Christians that we have a spiritual altitude. Some may be flying at a lower spiritual altitude than others, but this may be your last chance to get some things right. I don't have a clue what those things may be, but nevertheless, this could be our last chance, could it not? So we have the Lord Jesus going through Jericho the very last time, and we know there's a man, a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. So he's there. He's a rich man. He is not an honest man. We'll see later on. But nevertheless, it's his last chance to see, to meet, or to get the fellowship with the Lord. Then we see in verse 3 something that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So we see that Zacchaeus was experiencing something called an obstacle. I mean, he was a wealthy man, but even for the wealthy, there was an obstacle here. I want to say this. If you look in this verse, you see the obstacle being what it is. He was short, a little in stature. His other obstacle was the crowd. How often will the crowd keep the sinner from being born again? You're worried about what your friends might think or say. What their opinion of you may, will it go down or will it go up? But nevertheless, those obstacles, believe it or not, could keep someone, even this morning, from being saved. I know this, that whenever there's a genuine desire for a person to be saved or to meet the Lord, obstacles always seem to creep up. I've never gone to the hospital to visit someone and to lead them to the Lord, where I've gone in and began to witness to them, and all of a sudden, every nurse in the hospital has to come through and check their pulse. You can't find a nurse on that particular floor with a search warrant, but you opened God's Word and began to share the gospel with that person laid in the bed, and all of a sudden they'll come from everywhere. You think you promised them all candy or something. Here they come taking pulses and taking blood and giving this and that and the other, and the food trays coming in and out. I mean, there's always obstacles getting in the way when someone begins to look for Christ. I don't know, sometimes we fear laughter of others or ridicule or persecution. We live in a day-to-day. If you're a born-again Christian and you declare it to anyone, I promise you, you will face persecution. But our pride sometimes will get in the way, and I'm afraid keep us from Christ. God help you if you allow what someone may think of you keep you from the Lord. I want to say that when we stand before the Lord, God's not going to be interested in whether or not you were intimidated by a friend or a foe on the day that he convicted your heart, telling you you needed to be saved. If you're lost and undone, I don't like what I'm about to say, but if you reject Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. I wish I was wrong. I was witnessing to a young fellow one day, and he said, "I do not believe there is a hell." And I must confess to you, I said something to him. I said, "Young man, I wish you were right and I was wrong. I wish I'd go through life just to find out that hell isn't exactly what I understand it to be. But according to the scripture, it is a literal place. It's mentioned twice as often as heaven is mentioned. You can't hardly find an atheist that won't tell you there's a heaven. So hell is a real place." Well, then we see in verse 4 that Zacchaeus had a plan. The obstacles were in his way. He was too short. The crowd was in his way. He couldn't see around him or over him or under him. So in verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what? To see him. I want us to look at that for just a minute. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him. I believe this is an indicator of just how earnest Zacchaeus was in his motives. I like this because in Jeremiah chapter 29, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I want to say this. I was born again Christian. When I got saved, I didn't have to climb a tree to be saved. But if somebody's willing to climb a tree, I must say they must have an earnest spirit about them. I mean, this man, he was earnest in what he was doing. Then we see that his plan was to run ahead of the crowd and climb up into the sycamore tree. And I want you to notice the reason that he ran before the crowd, the reason he climbed up into this tree, the Bible says, was to see him, meaning Jesus. I want you to note that he was trying to see Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that he was trying to meet Jesus. Zacchaeus was just wanting to see Jesus. I mean, after all, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was an unethical businessman. I believe that not only did Zacchaeus climb the tree to see Jesus, but I tell you, I believe he did have a desire to want to meet Jesus. Zacchaeus, I believe, wanted to meet this teacher. I believe Zacchaeus wanted to meet this healer. I believe Zacchaeus wanted to meet the great debater. I believe Zacchaeus wanted to meet this Savior. But I don't believe that he thought for a minute that Jesus would meet with him. I believe not only did Zacchaeus climb up the tree to see Jesus, but I believe that he climbed up the tree to hide from Jesus. He thought he was hidden in the tree. But Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his," meaning the Lord Jesus' "sight." Ladies and gentlemen, he thought he could hide in that tree, but he could not. Zacchaeus was thinking, Jesus would not want to meet me. Jesus would not want to know me. After all, my neighbors don't want to be around me. The church people don't want me down at the church. Why would Jesus want to meet me? But about the time he finished reasoning in his mind, verse 5 took place. And Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He just wanted to sneak a peek. He was a sinner that wanted to see and hide. He was a curious man. He had no idea what was going to happen to him. But the Savior walked up. The Savior looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know what the word Zacchaeus means? It means pure. You know what Jesus was saying? You know what he was saying to Zacchaeus? I must abide at your house today. He was saying, Zacchaeus, to make you pure, you must come down. And I must abide. Pure one. The dirty, rotten sinner. The one who had done wrong. The one no one wanted anything to do with. Poor Zacchaeus was always ridiculed and hated. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, pure one, come down. Well, I hope you folks are not enjoying this, because I am, enough for all of us. Jesus, come down. Jesus is saying, come down. Come down. Well, Jesus came to the place, as we've seen. Let's remember where Zacchaeus is. He's in the tree here. He's not on the road. He's not with the crowd. He's off to the side. Jesus had to come to the tree. He had to come to the tree to get Zacchaeus. He had to, if I may say, go to the tree to get Zacchaeus. And I want to say, Westside Baptist Church, the Lord Jesus had to go to the tree to get you. He had to go to the tree to get me. He had to allow himself to be attached by nails to the tree, to nail our sins there, that we may have eternal life. I'm so glad, not just for that sycamore tree. The sycamore tree that day was good enough for Zacchaeus, but we had to have Calvary's tree. Well, obviously, when Zacchaeus received Christ, he received the promise of Calvary's tree. Well, he was in hiding, Zacchaeus was. And so were we. We are all hiding in our sin, if I may say. Make haste, Jesus is saying. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, he's calling to you. Make haste. He's saying, this is your last chance. Please, don't put it off to tomorrow. I'm leaving Jericho, and I'm not coming back. It was his, meaning Zacchaeus' last chance. And this could be, old sinner, your last chance to be saved today. He told Zacchaeus, I must abide. And I want to say, if you want to see heaven, Jesus must abide in you. There's not going to be any favoritism when we stand before God if we're not covered in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be doomed for hell. Praise the Lord. I must abide. And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something, and I like this. Look in verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I want us to notice that he made haste. In other words, Zacchaeus didn't mess around. He was there and he hurried up to obey the voice of the Lord. He made haste because he saw he had a need. He knew he was a sinner. And he made haste. I want to say to any sinner that may be in this room, don't mess around. Make haste. Get to God as fast as you can. Come down out of the tree of sin. He came down from that temporary, that tree, if I may say, that would move with the winds of this world, that flexible and unstable situation he was in. I want to say, if we're of this world, if we don't know the Lord as our Savior, we're up in a tree. The winds of this world is blowing that thing around, and those limbs are moving and cracking and could possibly break. And we need to make haste to get out of the tree of this world and get down to the ground where Jesus is. I like what he says here. He planted his feet on solid ground. Bible says he, meaning Zacchaeus, received him, meaning Jesus, joyfully. Did you hear what just happened, ladies and gentlemen? Zacchaeus received him joyfully. I believe when Zacchaeus's face hit, when his feet hit the ground, he was a born-again Christian. He received Christ joyfully. I remember the day that Jesus saved me. It wasn't a little prayer that I prayed, a rehearsed situation. No, when I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me, I received him joyfully. I want to say to you that profess being a Christian, I want you to stop for a moment and look back. If you said a little prayer and went through a systematic ordeal and you can't say that something happened, you can't say, I received Christ and I received him joyfully, I want you to take a close look. Take a close look. Make sure that you're really saved. See, when something happens, when a person accepts the Lord as their Savior, something happens. There's a joy that comes in and fills up that dark, heavy cavity of sin. It's something you feel. It's something you know. I want to challenge you. You did not receive the Lord joyfully, maybe you need to reconsider your conversion. Then there's the misunderstanding. The people that were around him were all torn up because Jesus went to his house. He didn't go to their house. He went to his house. Well, whose house did he go to? Jesus went to the house of the man that received him joyfully. The man that turned his back on the tree of sin and stepped onto the tree of life. And And so there we have Zacchaeus and all the religious people murmuring against him. I like what happens in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." I tell you what, his conversion, there was immediate proof of his conversion. I tell you, he had not been the man he should be as a lost man. He overtaxed and overtaxed, and he knew he had overtaxed. And so we here have proof of a man that was truly converted. Zacchaeus, at that point, gave half of what he had to the poor. He paid back all the taxes he had stolen, plus 20% interest. Folks, that's pretty good interest. That's big. How much money could you save if you put it in the bank and they gave you 20% interest? I tell you what, we'd all be saving a lot more than we are now. Is that not true? But he paid back with 20% interest. He replaced cattle he had stolen fourfold. He did all this according to the law that is found in Leviticus chapter 6 and Exodus chapter 22. Here we see the testimony of a true convert. And then we see here in verse 9 the declaration of the Lord Jesus, where he said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." Ladies and gentlemen, we see the assurance of salvation given to Zacchaeus. This salvation has come. Why? Because Jesus passed by. This is the day. This day is salvation come to this house. Remember the story of the Philippian jailer, how the Lord went to the house or the home of the Philippian jailer and all his house was saved and then baptized. Zacchaeus may have had a family, or maybe he didn't have a family, or maybe he was going to have a family, but whatever the case was in that day, his house, he had the promise that his house would be born again. Isn't that great? Before, if he did not have children, before he had them, he had God's promise that his children and his grandchildren were going to be saved. So we see here the story of Zacchaeus. Then in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which was lost." We see the story, yes, of a man named Zacchaeus. We've seen the opportunity was his last chance. We see the obstacles that could have kept him from Christ. We see the plan that unfolded. We saw the invitation where he made haste to God. We saw his response where he received Christ joyfully. We see his testimony, what a difference God made in this man's testimony. But thank God, thank Jesus, and more importantly, that we have the Savior's declaration that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And ladies and gentlemen, there was a day when you and I were lost, but Jesus had already come to save the sinners. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I like this story about Zacchaeus. Some of you in this room, I'm hoping most of you, have already taken advantage of that time when the Lord came by your tree and said, "Hey, wouldn't you like to come out of the world? Wouldn't you like to get off those shaky limbs, those things that are not steady? Wouldn't you like to come down and stand by me? Wouldn't you like to receive me joyfully? This morning, if you're saved, thank God for it. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is a challenge. I don't care who's here. I don't care what people may say or what they may do. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, won't you step out in a few moments and just come down and let us take the Word of God and show you how you can be a born-again Christian. The same Jesus that looked up into the tree for Zacchaeus is the same Jesus that hung on the cross for your sins. And he wants you to joyfully receive him today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We ask if we can the musicians to come. Would you please stand, church? I believe the invitation is just so simple. It's simplistic in nature. Christian, you should be praying right now. Because if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, they need the Holy Spirit to go land on them with both feet and to draw them forward so we can show them how they can know that if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. Jesus went through Jericho in Luke chapter 19 for the last time, and this could be our last chance to be born again. How many times over the years have I preached and seen young men or young women fall under the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit, showing them that they are on their way to hell? I've watched them wiggle. I've watched them shuffle their feet. I've watched them grab hold of the front pew until their knuckles turn white, walk out the church doors, and then a day or a week later, they'd be dead. I remember years ago, a man came down to our altar weeping and crying, but he wouldn't let go of his sin. He got up and he walked out the church doors. 2 days later, I was asleep. It was 4:00 in the a.m. And there was a woman on the other end of the line screaming and weeping. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said the young man's name that came down to the altar but would not be saved. Just hung himself. I had to get in the car and go over to that home. And somehow try to console a wife and 5 children. Concerning a man who had rejected Christ and was at that moment probably in hell. There is a last time when Jesus does move on our hearts. Don't let this be your mistake. As we sing, you just break loose and come to the altar and let us show you how to be born again this morning.